This is exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
And it is great to have in the Inner Sanctum today the man who has put together Dream Thoroughbreds, one of the new syndication businesses who is taking racing by storm, and they could have their biggest day ever at Caulfield on Saturday because they have I Am Immortal unbeaten heading into the Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Stakes. And it is great to have a chat to Dave as a party from Dream Thoroughbreds. How are you, Dave?
I'm fantastic, Michael. Thanks for having me in.
You nervous? Excited? What's the feeling going through the body at the moment?
Yeah, I haven't slept very well this week. A little bit nervous. I suppose I think I'll be really nervous on Saturday through the day. I think it'll be a bit of a blur. Race 7, so I'll be there before the first. But, I'm not sure how I'm going to be on Saturday. I'm okay at the moment. I'm going to the Blue Diamond Ball tonight, which you're hosting.
We will see you there,
at the MRC Foundation. So the lead-up this week has been really great. We had the barrier draw on Tuesday, bit of media, obviously, today, and a few articles being written in the newspapers, and then the ball tonight. So, yeah, it's a great lead-up. It's been a fantastic week. And as I said to all of my owners at the start of the week, I said, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Mm. Don't take it for granted. Make the most of every opportunity, every function. Get there. I think at the barrier draw, we had something like about a dozen owners just get there just to get involved with it. It was great.
And that's a great story. It'll be good to see you tonight at the ball. The MRC Foundation, which does such magnificent work for all the charities. Eddie Maguire will be there with a very special guest tonight as well. How many people are involved in I Am Immortal? And this is what we love about the big syndicates. But how many people are involved with I Am Immortal? And can you explain what they're going through this week in the lead up to Australia's biggest juvenile, or Victoria's biggest two-year-old race?
Yeah, there's about, I think overall there's about 20 owners in it. Yarraman Park, who bred the horse, are involved in it as well, who I'd like to call friends of ours as well. I think all of them, we have a bit of a messaging group between us all. Mm. There's been messages between everybody all through the week. Not many people are sleeping, you know, that's been a common sort of theme. But some of them were involved in Mr. Sneaky, sort of one of our horses that we currently got. So they've had the experience of a Group 1 race. But I think this time we're going in with a real live chance. So it's a really different buzz. And everyone, the expectation is that our horse will probably lead. And he'll be leading, you know, with 100 metres, 50 metres to go. And the anticipation of what's going to happen in that last sort of, you know, 50 metres of the race. So, they're very excited. I think it's going to be a great sort of Saturday where we'll get together as a group. We'll stay together as a group, have a few sort of nervous sort of drinks beforehand. Not too many because we want to obviously enjoy the day.
But, just to settle the nerves.
Yeah, that's right. But if he wins, you'll hear the dream scream and the after party. You'll be welcome to join us, Michael, but it'll be a big after party.
Well, that's what Dream Thoroughbreds has become synonymous with in recent years. And we see your colours, and you mentioned Mr. Sneak, you've had Mr. So-and-so, you've had really good success in recent years. But where did it all start from? Where did Dream Thoroughbreds come from?
Firstly, we started, we were owners with the Freedman Stable. We joined a syndicate called the Ball and Chain Syndicate, where we put together a pool of money and we're buying horses from the Tattersall sale in the UK, trying to get a Melbourne Cup runner. We had a bit of success with a few horses there. Sound of Nature ran second in a Group 2, and Fanjura and a few other horses that did well. Fanjura won an Easter Cup. But we found that wasn't, you weren't going to buy a Melbourne Cup winner there. You had to go, you know, and buy the big named horses from the UK. So What evolved out of that was there was a lot of people who wanted to get involved in that syndicate with us because we're having a lot of fun, at least, you know, and going to the races quite regularly. And we just decided, a group of us, a couple of mates, sort of got together having a few beers and had this crazy idea to start a syndication company. And so it evolved from there. We thought of a name. My partner, Shannon, she was sort of lying in bed with me one day thinking of a name. She said, you always say you live in the dream. Why don't you just call it Dream Thoroughbred? So that sort of evolved from there. And so we started pretty small. We only sort of bought one, maybe two horses a year. Started with a horse called, a horse who did quite well for us, a horse called Chosen Moment. He won at Bendigo at his second start, won at Moonee Valley through the years. And then we evolved to a horse called Charles in Charge, who was sort of really was the main horse that sort of kicked us off with our colours running in City Racing. He won his first two races, won at Sandown midweek first up, and then he won the Adelaide Magic Millions Classic on Adelaide Cup Day at Morpheville in his second start. So that sort of pushed us up there. He won seven races for us. Unfortunately, he broke down at Sandown midweek one day, which was a real sad day. It's very hard. You get very close to these horses. And to see him break down on a race day was pretty hard day to actually cope with. But then we sort of kept evolving and started buying better horses. And we ended up buying Mr. Sneaky, I think it was around about 2016 or something, at the Inglis Premier Sale. And he was in what they called the Blue Ribbon section. So it was sort of better quality bred horses. I loved him. I use a bloodstock agent called Lenny Russo as a guy that gives me some ideas on confirmation type issues. And he pointed this horse out to me. And I loved him. Didn't think I could buy him. It was by High Chaparral, who at the time I think was probably the best sire around. And I got him for $120,000. And at the time I thought that was a cheap buy. So I syndicated him through a few loyal owners through my syndicates. And he's turned out to be Mr. Sneaky, obviously. Yeah. And the name sort of came up as we're having lunch with Lee Friedman at the time. I think it was at Ribera's in South Melbourne, and we were just talking about Mr. Sneaky. It's a bit of a nickname that I had in my younger days. I won't tell you why I got that name, but anyway, Lee said to me, I've got to train a horse called Mr. Sneaky. So we named him Mr. Sneaky, thinking that he could be a bit of a cult horse around, which I think he sort of become. And so he's pushed us up into the limelight a bit.
Well, he went close to getting you that Group 1.
Yeah, he did. He shot clear in 2017 Rupert Clark. And we thought, effectively, we did think he had it won. But a horse came out of the pack that was the stablemate, Santa Ana Lane, who at the time, I think he started about 30-1 that day and got up and beat us on the line. And we were still very thrilled, to be honest, because the expectation leading into that Group 1 was that he was a chance, but never really thought, you know, that we would win it. So when he shot clear, you know, obviously we were very excited. But when he got run down, we were still very happy running second in a Group 1. Santa Ana Lane now has come out.
He's a superstar.
Yeah, the best sprinter.
As a fledgling syndication business, has it been tough? Because, you know, it's tough to find clients. It's tough to have, the disposable income in current life circumstances. And owners, trying to get new owners in. Has it been hard to break into the market?
Yeah, it's very competitive. Syndication these days, syndicate has been very successful as well over the recent years. But very competitive market out there. We're not as big as most syndicators. We only hold about 20 horses. 10 of those are unraced at the moment, still babies coming through the system. And I think the best form of advertising is getting a city winner and city runners. So obviously Mr. Sneaky has pushed us up there. We had his full brother, three-quarter brother, Mr. So-and-so, who ran second in a Group 2. But obviously I Am Immortal now has really pushed us into the forefront now with his winning his first two races. Both of those are stakes races and being a leading chance in a, you know, huge Group 1 on Saturday. So that is the best form of advertising. We mainly do our advertising through social media, through Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and things like that. I suppose the difference between Dream and a few of the other syndicators is that we, my partner and I, Shannon, we have a good social life. We like to get out and go out to dinner a bit. And we found that the people that have aligned with Dream are either couples that are sort of at life where their kids are a bit older and they want a social outlet, or couples that don't have kids and just want that social outlet. So we've really encouraged the social side of it. Race day events, social events outside of race day. And I can actually say that a lot of the people that have got involved with now have become friends of mine, people that I didn't know before they even got involved. And we can now say that they're great friends that we'll socialise with on weekends, even when the racing's not on. And that's how it's evolved. But it is a hard industry, absolutely. But yeah, I think we've bought real good quality, and we'll continue to buy quality.
So, do you go to the? We've got the upcoming premier sale here. Do you go there with a budget, or do you go there buy on spec and then try to fill them?
I do go there and buy on spec and try and fill them. I do have a budget in my mind though of what I want to spend. I've just recently out of the Inglis Classic sale. We bought a Written Tycoon Queenie Colt. He was the third highest lot in the sale. So we actually went to $400,000 to buy him. Now, he was an outstanding individual. Anthony Friedman loved him. Julian Blaxland, who was from Blue Sky Bloodstock, actually picked him out as the best colt at that sale. So off the back of I Am Immortal and a few people inquiring about getting involved, we've bought a really nice colt who we think will be in the Blue Diamond next year as well. Mm. He's Vobis and he's Inglis. So Inglis obviously has provided a lot of our good horses. Mr. Sneaky was Inglis, Mr. So-and-so, and I Am Immortal as well. So, yeah, we like the Inglis sale. So we'll go to Premier, obviously. We're Melbourne-based. Even though we've got horses in Brisbane and Adelaide with trainers now, we are Melbourne-based, and the Premier sale is obviously one of the biggest sales for us.
You're an accountant by trade. Yes. You've got a successful practice, and it is a business at the end of the day. So is this something that you can run as a profitable business?
It's not profitable yet, but I Am Immortal might change a few things with you know, potential for what might happen in the future with it.
Studs sniffing or Yarraman?
Yarraman obviously involved. Now, we haven't really spoken to anyone just yet. I've spoken to Harry Mitchell at Yarraman, and he's ready. He's prepared to sort of go on the ride with us at the moment. So, listen, if he won on Saturday, he's obviously becomes very valuable because he's a son of I Am Invincible, and I Am Invincible's never had a Group 1 2-year-old winner. So if a colt wins a 2-year-old Group 1, he's obviously worth a lot of money. He's already won.
Have you been told? Have you been told what type of figures that you're dreaming about when your head hits the pillow?
No, I haven't been told. I have a good appreciation of what he would be worth.
10 million? 15 million?
Yeah, there'd be a lot of zeros there. Yeah, yeah. Listen, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. You've got to do it first. But the Blue Diamond's not the only option for him going forward. You know, he'd be a Coolmore horse in the spring. And I actually think he'll get better as a 3-year-old. Mm. The way Anthony trains, he doesn't actually push his 2-year-olds. And this horse has actually come on the scene. I think he had his first trial on the 2nd of January this year at Balnarring, and he won that quite easily. But those type of trials are very small. So at the time, we didn't want to get ahead of ourselves. But then he trialled up 2 weeks later at Pakenham and did the same thing. He kept winning his trials in good times. So we knew he was pretty quick. So going into the first preview over 1,000, we were fairly confident that he would be right to the fore that day. Obviously, the question mark on him is stretching out to the 1,200.
What does Anthony think? What's his gut feel?
Listen.
And Ben Mellon, who it must give you great confidence that he jumped off Brooklyn Hustle to stay with I Am Immortal.
Yeah, well, obviously, Ben chased us in the early days once he saw him at Balnarring and thought, you know, I want to get on this colt. And obviously, he's stuck with us instead of riding Brooklyn Hustle this week. I suppose the decision for him, he's a colt. I suppose there's a difference with having a colt to a filly. The options for a colt going forward with lots of Group 1s, you know, coming up through the spring and through the 3-year-old year. I think Ben wanted to keep that association with him. And I sort of said to him, you know, you jump off now, you're going to be struggling to get back on. and I think he felt that the 1,200 was within his grasp. We've put the earmuffs on this week and a tongue tie. During track
Does he have
work,
some issues with his tongue?
No, actually, it was just a couple of little things that Anthony wanted to tinker with, just to have him settle in the run, early in the race. I think the biggest key to him is the first 600. If he settles in the race in the first 600, they're going to really find it hard to catch him in the straight, because he's going to lead a long way into that straight. And the other thing is he uses those in track work. So he's been using that in track work for the last 6 weeks. He doesn't pull in track work. He's very calm in track work. His track work rider, Will Stewart, has been really happy with him this week. He's improved again. So, he's going into that race absolutely 100% on Saturday.
I know what your heart's telling you. What's your head telling you about his chance on Saturday?
Listen, I think the Colts form has been very consistent. Obviously, he's won the two lead-ups. But Microphone on Saturday sort of franked that form as well. He beat that that field quite easily. And I think James has been watching our horse, James Cummings, has been watching our horse a bit and compares him to what Microphone is. The fillies have sort of chopped and changed. There's been a few different winners every week. The form out of the Loving Gabby race didn't really hold up in the Microphone race. So I don't think there's a real standout filly in the race, to be honest. And I think there needs to be a standout filly to beat him. Because, as I said to you, we know where he's going to be. The rest of them are going to be jockeying for positions. The Barry hasn't really changed much for us. If he wants to, he'll lead because he'll have too much speed for him.
It's exciting, and it's great to see the colours of Dream Thoroughbreds and the celebrations post-race. Have you booked a venue? We can get a gauge.
Talking about venues, I should give a bit of a shout-out to the Emerson Hotel. One of my owners actually is an owner of the Emerson Hotel.
Oh, you're so laughing.
The after parties are at the Emerson in South Yarra, and I won't actually announce it right now that there's an after party, but obviously if he happens to win on Saturday, everybody will be welcome there to have a drink with us.
All right. Drinks on Dave if I'm Immortal wins the Blue Diamond on Saturday. Just a quick one too. When do we get to see Mr. Sneaky again?
Yeah, so he's resuming next Saturday at Flemington. He's going down the straight for 1,000 metre listed Hoisted Stakes. His main goal this spring, autumn, is probably heading towards the Group 1 Goodwood in May in Adelaide. That's probably where he'll probably head to. We're going to keep him quite fresh and sprint with him this autumn just to see how he goes just over the 1,200 metre sprint races. He really needs a fast pace and just be explosive at the end, and that's why we're targeting most likely the Goodwood. He's got to earn his spot there, but that's where we're heading.
Oh, you've got a couple of really nice horses under your banner at the moment. And if anyone listening out there wants to join the Dream Party, what do they do?
Yeah, so it's dreamthoroughbreds.com.au. There's horses on there, horses for syndication, the new written Tycoon Colt, a Snitzel filly, Zoostar filly. We've got a women's syndicate, actually, with the Zoostar filly that's got nearly full. We've done it before, but yeah, we put one together again. Shannon sort of said the girls haven't been at a syndicate for a while, so let's get one. So we bought one at the Magic Million Sale. That's trained by Anthony as well. So there's a lot on the website. Have a look. It's a brand new website that we launched late last year, and it's quite easy to get around.
David, good luck on Saturday.
Thank you,
with I'm Immortal in the Blue Diamond. Dave Azzopardi, who is the director of Dream Thoroughbreds, and look out for them in the mounting yard.